The Holy of Holies. Thank the Lord for that song this morning. Great encouragement. We want to talk about how God made a plan for us, and how the Old Testament tabernacle, how it coincides with us today. I drew a little diagram here. I know you're not going to be able to see it real good, but it's to kind of keep me on track too, mostly. But anyway, we want to first talk about the entrance and how it was a 7-foot fence all the way around the tabernacle. And then we're going into the gate. And when people came into the gate, that brazen altar there where they sacrificed, that's the first thing that they saw. So we want to, with the scriptures, begin there in Exodus 26. Pray for me. I want this to be uplifting, encouraging, and enlightening, and a teaching message, but inspiring. But Exodus 26 and 33, it says here, "And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. Thou shalt set the table without the veil and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And thou shalt put the table on the north side." And then it goes on. But there's a lot to read about, but we want to get some of the main things. 27 and 1, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. Now this altar they're talking about here is the brazen altar. This is what they would see when they came in to make their sacrifice, this brazen altar. It had some copper at the top, but this brazen altar, God wanted a fence around so people can just peer in here, see in here, and gaze, you know. But the priests were here, but the people could come in here, okay? And they wanted to get near God, they could come here, but they could not go in the holy place as yet, or the Holy of Holies. But this is what's so wonderful as I study this, that spiritually we're in the Holy of Holies when we're sanctified. Or spiritually, if we're saved, we're in these places. And God wants us, of course, to get into the Holy of Holies. But it's exactly a spiritual blessing now. It was a spiritual blessing then too, but it was more a diagram, the way that God planned to show people what he was wanting, how he wanted to dwell with us. And I got so much good out of it. I'm going to quote some things I just studied, but I've got scriptures. But anyway, this altar here, it said it was like a 5 by 5 cubits and 3 cubits high. If you look up a cubit, it's 1.5 foot equals 1 cubit. So anyway, it was 7.5 by 7.5 and 4.5 foot tall, this brazen altar. This was the main altar where they sacrificed the animal, and they burnt the animal. So the main thing here on Exodus 30, we want to go to also there in 17. They had to go over here when they were done with that and wash. The priests had to wash their hands and their feet. But they had a pitcher, and they would get the pitcher out of this water. Laver, just think of it as a big sink. But all this was made out of brazen area here. Everything in here in the holy place was made with gold. Everything was made with pure gold in the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Because God is the ultimate. He wants the purest gold. And so Exodus 30:17 tells about, and you can study some of this yourself too, there's a lot to study about it. But the main thing here I think I can teach, Exodus 30 and 17 says how that they were commanded to wash, the priests were to wash. Thou shalt also make a laver, 18th verse, and his foot also breast to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. And Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet. So they would take a pitcher and get the water out of the laver, and they would go over and they'd wash their hands and their feet when they were all done with this, taking care of this animal sacrifice. And when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, and that they die not, and shall be a statue forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. And you notice how the Lord would say that they die not. The Lord was very specific and very serious about this tabernacle. This is where he was dwelling with his people, and he, and you know, and it's a spiritual blessing to us today how we can be saved and sanctified. Two works of grace. Two works of grace. It's all through the blood of Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, we want to go. There's a song in our song, but just I would like to sing just the first verse of 295, and then we might go back to it. It's the Holy of Holies. If we could just sing that first verse in chorus while I'm getting these scriptures. Sacred inner core, the place of God's own dwelling, with all the world shut out.
Oh, holy resting place, oh, calm and pure retreat, where
time in your worship, I want you to, I'm not commanding this, I'm asking you to, if you want to do this, read this song and sing it and get the depth of this. It's such a blessing, because I had two messages on my heart and I asked the Lord to give me the one he wanted me today, and he gave me this song to go with it, so I knew how he was directing me. And like I said, I try to do this to help me to stay on track. But anyway, Hebrews 10 and 19, first let's read just a little bit above there, 10 and 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Now, once a year, it was called the Day of Atonement. And this is when they would sacrifice for all the priests, for all the people. It was the Day of Atonement. Once a year, they would sacrifice for everybody's sins at once. The people that were coming in here to sacrifice between that time and that year was for different reasons. Maybe they wanted to talk to God. Maybe they wanted to make a vow to God. Or maybe they were healed of a skin disease and they wanted to sacrifice and thank God for that. Or maybe that was childbirth. They had a child and they want to be cleansed and make a sacrifice and thank God for giving them that child. There was many reasons why they want to draw near to God. Because they knew God was there, okay? And they wanted to get as close as they could get, and they wanted to do that. It's just like we are. It's a spiritual thing too, that we are saved. And we want to, there's certain times that we want to go and pray and draw nearer to God. And we make a spiritual sacrifice of prayer and reading or fasting and praying. So it's similar, you know what I mean, as we draw near to God. But yet we are actually dwelling in the Holy of Holies, which is so much better. But it's all type and shadow of our spiritual experience. I wrote this down that would really help us too. Only those persons whose consecrations have been accepted in the beloved are represented as being in this holy condition. Now listen to this. Only the persons whose consecrations, you must consecrate to get saved. You must consecrate even further to get in the Holy of Holies, to be sanctified. You when you get saved, you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, and you come into the holy place. Only those that are saved from sin and free from sin can even ask God to be sanctified. You can't ask God to be sanctified if you're not washed in the blood. You gotta be washed in the blood of Jesus, and then the blood makes atonement again for you to be sanctified with His Holy Spirit. You can't just jump and go right into there. You've got to, a process of spirituality. You gotta be saved. How long? Some people are saved and they're sanctified in a few years. My experience, I was saved at 18, and I was probably, I don't exactly see it, somewhere, let's see, I think it was 19, maybe a year. And I kind of remember that because it was before Tammy was born, and I was sanctified. So, but there was a process. Some people could be saved and sanctified sooner than that. It all depends on your understanding, your knowledge, and how God is working with you, what you understand, and your consecration to God. So we want to read this in Hebrews 10. It says, but in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. Back then, every year they had to have this big atonement and this big sacrifice for all the people. But just think how Jesus died one time and covers the billions of people that's been born and wanted to be saved. His blood is that powerful that we don't have to go through all this anymore. It's wonderful. And the fourth verse of the 10th chapter of Hebrews, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, if you go on, it talks about, in the 10th verse, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. These priests that worked in this area, when the people brought their animals on, we'll get to that point in a little bit, and they did all these commandments, and they were very, had to be very faithful in doing it exactly like God wanted them to do, or they would die. And I'll read a little bit about, they could just die. And then that puts a more of a fear of God in the ministry, because no one should take an office of being a minister unless God really called them to do that. And then if you are called, you still have to be subject to one another and to other ministers and other, and the saints. And because if you do anything, you know, you could be chastised by God. I mean, you're in a fearful place too. But yet we're living under mercy and grace. But what I'm trying to say, if God, these priests that were in here, and two of Aaron's sons lost their lives because they done something wrong, it's to show that God is very serious about this. He's very serious about His plan of salvation. We should never even testify that we're saved if we're not saved. We should never say we're sanctified if we're not sanctified. We need to know where we're at, and we want to testify of that. But we don't play hypocrite, ever. We don't play with God like that. God is a very serious God. He means business with us spiritually. He wants us to be exactly. Only those persons whose consecrations have been accepted in the beloved are represented as being in this holy condition. And we'll read a little bit more there. Hebrews 3:1. Let's go back just a little bit in Hebrews. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Consider him who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. But we are partakers of a heavenly calling. What we know as saints in light of being saved from all sin and being sanctified by the Holy Spirit is not a small thing. Millions of people, billions of people in America do not understand. They are living in darkness. They do not understand the spiritual insight that we have. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful blessing. While others, I wrote some of this down, while others are in outer darkness, the redeemed people eat of special spiritual food. Renouncing our human wills and our human aspirations, we pass the first veil. Now the will of God only. You know, there's many things before we're saved that we want to do with our life, you might say. And we consecrate it to God. And we say, Lord, I'm not going to do that now because I'm saved. And I'm bought with a price and I belong to you. So I consecrate that to God. And there's consecrations we made when we first got saved, before we were even sanctified. And then when we see inside of us, I saw something that was not just quite right. And I knew I needed a deeper experience. And so then we consecrate ourselves more to God. And we say, Lord, I'm completely yours. I'm giving my whole life to you. I'm saved and I want to stay saved forever. And I'm offering my body to you. I'm offering my whole life. I want to be in the holy will of God. And I want you to sanctify me. And God comes down. He breathes the Holy Ghost. And I still remember the night I was sanctified. I was praying at the kitchen, in the kitchen at a chair. And I was praying, God, I wasn't really taught a whole lot back then. I was in Michigan. But yet in my soul, I knew that I needed more power. And so I was praying, God, help me to consecrate to you and get more power in my life. And the Lord accepted it. It was maybe like 2:00 in the morning. And something happened. And I felt, and I know we're not all sanctified the same, but I felt the presence of God so strong. And I knew that God had gave my answer, that he gave me the Holy Spirit. Saints, we need to go to that experience. You might not have the same experience I have. Exactly, but you need to get down and pray and know you're sanctified. Know that you're in the Holy of Holies. We need it. We need to know that we are there. And you know, it's such a blessing to consecrate your life to God. You know, it's like I said, renouncing our human wills. We have to be willing to give up our human wills. We got to be willing to consecrate our life to God, whatever he wants. We no longer belong to ourselves. We no longer, no matter what, we may be tempted. What if even, it might not even be sin. It may be just living in a different state or doing something that we think is wonderful. And God says, no, I don't want you to do that. You belong to me. We're willing to be consecrated to God. Live or die, whatever he wants, we belong to God. And he sends the holy fire down. Just as he done there. This is a spiritual application of what he wanted in the future, what was coming. That Jesus would be the perfect sacrifice. And his blood would help us to get into the holy place. And into the Holy of Holies. It was a very special thing that God was preparing his people to understand his plan. And it's a wonderful thing. And 1 Peter 2, well, I'm going to come back to this in a little bit, but 1 Peter 2:5, it says here, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Ye are lively stones. This is what makes us lively. In the Church of God is the Holy Spirit working, like He inspired Sister Lisa to sing a song that pretty well, I think, went real well with the message. But you know, that's how God works with His children. He works or prayer or whatever it is. God works in His church as the Holy Spirit is working on consecrated lives. That's how God wants to work in His church. That's how God wants to work with us. The tabernacle properly represents the two conditions of all who undergo a change of nature from human or carnality to a spiritual person. We can get so much out of this. As I was studying, I got so much out of it as a spiritual application. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be under, saved and sanctified, to understand and have God in us. It's wonderful. We want to, you know, the people, it was kind of sad because they wanted to come as close to God as they could, but they only could go in here. And it said that they would, I'm trying to get the scripture here a little bit here, but they would bring a sacrifice and they would bring an animal to this gate and they would want to talk to God and they want to get close to God as they could. They want to offer this animal. And the first thing, the priest would meet them and he would bring them a knife and they would take their hand and lay it on the animal before they killed the animal. And when they laid their hand on the animal, it was to represent that their sins that was in the person had now transformed to the animal. That's what it meant. That's why they put their hand on the animal, on the animal's head. That the sins that they had is now on the animal. And then they would kill the animal. And it was such an awesome, terrible, bloody thing, experience that God wanted it to be that way to show them what a terrible thing it is to have sin in your life. And then it takes the sacrifice of this animal and the bleeding, and this animal has to die for you. But it was all to prepare people for Jesus. That realize, you know, that Jesus died for you. You could not be saved. You could not be a good person. You could not be holy. You could not have the Holy Spirit. You could have nothing. None of us could be saints in light. None of us could be what we are if it hadn't been for Jesus' precious blood. And we needed to glorify God always. It's not our righteousness. It's not our good works. Good works are commendable, but we are not saved by works. He said, not lest any man should boast, but your faith produces works. That's true. You know, it works is good, but that's not what saves us. It is the blood of Jesus, and He is to all the glory. We cannot boast about our works. God forbid for us to do those things. The Lord wants us to lift Him up, lift up Christ always. And you know what it says, I'm getting ahead a little bit, but this thing about the person, this was amazing. They would come here, and they would have to do that to that animal. And then the priest would take the animal and the blood and sprinkle around the altar and burn the animal and all that, and they would talk to God. But you know, just think how wonderful it is. Saints, that we can go into the holy place and get saved. And then we can go on to the Holy of Holies and be sanctified. And we dwell in the sacred pavilion. The song says, there is a blessed pavilion, a sacred inner court, the place of God's own dwelling, with all the world shut out. You know, we just got to put more effort into it to be with God. You know, we have to take time to be with God. Sometimes it may take a lot of time, but we can do this. We can be close to God. You know, the people that would come, not all the people came. Probably there were some people that only had the atonement once a year. And maybe they felt that was good enough for them. But there was others that wanted to talk to God, that wanted to come before that year and offer an animal and get close to God. You know, that's what God wants us to do. Oh, we want to go back to Hebrews a little bit. It is not possible, but the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And then you go down in the 11th verse, it said, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. They went through so much. They went through so much ordeal there, you know, killing an animal. And I'm not putting light on it in the way that they shouldn't have done it. It was God's wonderful plan. But what I'm trying to say is that God had the perfect plan when Jesus died once, just one time for us. His blood is so powerful, it reaches even to 2022. Anybody, the uttermost sinner, can be saved and come and be saved. You know, I mean, the blood still reaches us, even though we're living in a sinful, wicked world, and there's things we wouldn't even want to talk about behind the wall, but you know, just a wicked world. But yet there's still that holy place, saints, and the Holy of Holies that we spiritually have got into because of our consecrations to God. And that's wonderful. That's so wonderful. So it says here, but this man, it says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering ofttimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, which is Jesus, in the 12th verse, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. In the 19th verse, it says here, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There are two separate works of grace, and they're both bought with the blood of Jesus. We enter into the holiest, it says here, very plainly, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Why does it say boldness? Because of the fearfulness of all this. But yet we can go right into the holiest by the blood of Jesus and know that Jesus died for us, that we could be sanctified with the Holy Spirit, and know that's a perfect plan. It's not something difficult to understand. It just all comes down to the human will. We need to consecrate ourselves to God. We need to be willing. Not so much me anymore, but more of Christ. That's what we've got to be willing. Not to, and that takes work on ourselves. We've got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But the more that we do, the more that we draw closer to God, the more blessing is in it. The more blessing that we have right here on earth. The blessing we have right here on earth. And it says here, 22nd verse. Let's read the 21st verse. And having a high priest over the house of God. He's our high priest now, Jesus Christ. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord wants us to be in this place. I want to talk a little bit further now. As we go into here and we go into the holy place, here's the candle stick here with a candelabra-like and all the light of God. You know, when we get saved, we have to have some light. We don't understand everything, but God gives us spiritual light. And this bread, the Word of God, and the bread and the light, the Word and the light, to me, it works together. And Jesus works with the Word and the Bible and the light of God. He works with all that. And as we walk in the light of His Word, and we're willing to read the Bible, and we're willing to consecrate our lives, we are saved now, and we're dwelling in this holy place. And this golden altar, every morning and every evening, daily, the priest would have sweet incense burning here. And the smell of sweet incense would go up. It would go up through, here's the veil between the Holy of Holies, but that smell would go up into the Holy of Holies. This is the sweet incense of our prayers to God. You know, dear ones, every morning, sometime in that morning, I know sometimes we're sidetracked. I know the phone rings or someone wants us to hurry and get going. But sometime, find time alone with God. And even if you just got to pray inside your heart until you get that time. But God wants to smell that sweet incense of our prayers going up to Him. And in the evening, when it's time to go to bed, pray to God again. But even in the middle of the day, like David, he prayed, you know, morning, noon, and night. The little song says, but pray often to the Lord and let Him get the sweet smell of that incense of your prayers going up to God. And then he goes on to say, there's some things that doesn't come except by fasting and prayer. And you know, sometimes we think we can't fast and pray because it's too hard. But you know, I want to encourage us this way. There are some times we might make it through the whole day. There's some times we might make it through 2 or 3 days. People have fasted even longer than that. But sometimes maybe you just give up a meal that's precious that you know, all of us are different, but maybe you really like your breakfast. You give up your breakfast and maybe you can eat lunch and spend that time in prayer, fasting and prayer. Or maybe you can give up breakfast and lunch and eat your supper. Or maybe you can eat supper and then give up breakfast and lunch the next day. Whatever God works for you. But there's a way to do this. There's a way to sacrifice to God. And you know, I believe that sometimes why the Lord wants us to fast, because it says fast and pray, because instead of going after the food, we think, well, I need to go pray. I need to go pray because I'm sacrificing that to God so I can pray. But anyway, we're getting the thought here about the sweet incense going up. Now, on the showbread, there was a table there. There was 12 loaves of bread. And this bread represented the 12 tribes of Israel. But the priests were only ones that could eat this bread. And they would eat it like once a week, and then they would, on the Sabbath day, they would put 12 fresh loaves of bread out again. So, you know, this is just a continual thing that we eat the bread, we eat the Word of God, but then it's fresh. God gives us fresh. And then He gives us Sabbath to worship Him. And it's a special day of prayer and spending time and getting together, you know, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching, and you get a blessing from it. So there's all a reason for all of everything. Praise God. So we want to read a little bit over here. Let's see. Oh, I also want to say that God's first plan was that He wanted the people to kill the animal themselves, because He wanted them to really get a hold of. I mean, just think of it. If you had to go out and do that, you know, it would make a big impression on you how awful sin is. But then later on, it got to be so many people, and so that God would allow the priest to do that, to kill the animal for him. But and so I was going to read a little bit of that. Exodus 25. Let's see. Well, if I got it just right. 35 to 40. Well, I might have to skip that because I'm Exodus 26 and 33. Let's see what that. Exodus 26 and 33. Well, this is what I read and studied, that God's plan was that He wanted them to kill the animal, and that's what they did, their self. But Exodus 26 and 33, I think I read that, but I'll read that again. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, which I talked about, and the candlestick over against the wall, the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side. And then it goes on. But anyway, I just thank the Lord that He is able to help us to get a hold of this. This is wonderful, wonderful thing. I wanted to read over here just a little bit in Psalms. Psalms 24 and 3 and 4. It says here, for He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the fields. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? Who is going to be able to stand in these holy places? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So that's We must keep our hands clean, and we must keep our hearts pure to be close to God. That's what God wants. We want to turn over here to Leviticus a little bit, and 10 and 1. We want to talk about how serious things were here about Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. In the 10th chapter of Leviticus, let me read just a little bit above that. In the 24th verse of the 9th chapter, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. It said, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not to do that," okay? "And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Now these were two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, that helped Aaron and Moses. They were priests. But they got out of order and they done something wrong and they died. That sounds really strong, and it's strong. But God was so particular about the way things were going to be done. And he's still particular with us. God's a very particular God. He's very kind. He's merciful. He's everything wonderful. He's like we heard in the song, unseen hand. He's wonderful, but at the same time, he's particular about how we live. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be pure. He commands us to be holy as I am holy. And he doesn't want anything else. And so it says here, "There went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." Now, I was thinking about these. This was Aaron's two sons. And I'm sure, you know how you love your children. But when Moses told Aaron, "This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me." In other words, this was not a small thing to go in the holy place into the Holy of Holies. Only once a year could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies, and we haven't got into that yet. But inside the ark, what was inside of the ark? The two tables of the commandments, the commandments that Moses had wrote. That's what was in there, was the commandments. And then a gold pot full of manna was in it. What was so wonderful about this manna? It stays sweet all the time. You know how the Israelites had to gather the manna every morning? And if they tried to keep some in their house for the next day, God commanded them to get rid of it. It would stink and it would go bad. And then God wanted to give them fresh manna every single day, just like he wants to give us fresh food, spiritual food, every single day. But this manna that was in the golden pot in the Ark of the Covenant never got bad. It was always sweet. Isn't that the way about being sanctified? It's always sweet. It's a spiritual blessing. Always sweet. And then Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron was from the tribe of Levi. And, you know, he didn't want murmuring with the people. So he wanted the people to know, I have chosen Aaron to be a minister. I've chosen Aaron to be with Moses and help Moses. So he said, whoever the rod buds, that's the chosen one. And Aaron's rod budded. So it kept the murmuring down from the people who God chose, because God proved it. And he left it there. He left it there in the Holy of Holies. As far as I know, that was the only furniture that I read of that was in the Holy of Holies was this Ark of the Covenant. Just think how precious that is, though. The chosen ones that work for God. The golden pot, the manna, the commandments that God, Jerry's mentioned that a lot of times. Fear God and keep his commandments is the whole duty of man. That's how serious it is. Now, you know, the Lord didn't do away with the Ten Commandments. He fulfilled them. He fulfilled them. Basically, you know, just, and And then the mercy seat. How merciful God is. And the angels, the cherubims, touching one another at the mercy seat. We can come to the mercy seat. And if you're living in the Holy of Holies spiritually and you're sanctified, you can come to that mercy, or you can come to the mercy seat here. But just think, you come to the mercy seat. And His mercy is always there. So, and I don't know. I got a lot of good out of this. But I tell you what, it's wonderful. It's wonderful what God... This was a sad thing about the sons, but I wanted to read that because I wanted us to realize how serious God was about His tabernacle and how serious He is about us. He's serious about this. He wants us to be serious about it. He wants us to be serious about our lives. And like Jerry and I have been talking and studying, you know, if you're saved and you've escaped this world and you're sanctified, stay in the holy place. People can backslide, but we don't want people to backslide, but they can. But as long as you desire to be close to God, and He will help you to stay in that holy place. That should be the goal of your life right now. Above everything else, Lord, help me to keep consecrated and stay in that place. If you run a while and then you don't finish the race, you know, but it says run that you may obtain. You know, He wants us to run and finish the race that God has given us. Leviticus 16, we'll read a little bit there. And we're almost done. We know it's getting up. Leviticus 16 and 17. It says here, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. He shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take, now I'm talking about the Day of Atonement, was once a year. And this is where it's found. And shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. He shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay up both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel. That was one thing that was amazing to me in studying this. Leviticus in the 16th chapter. Right now I'm reading the 21st verse. How they would put, he commanded Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of a goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man to the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments. So these were different that they had sacrificed, and they had this goat that they did that. And it says, Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall be burned upon the altar, and he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh and water it, and afterward come into the camp. And then, and you, like I said, you can study more and more of this. I just wanted to encourage you. The Day of Atonement. Isn't that amazing how that they would lay their hands on the goat or lay their hands on that animal when they killed the animal? And their sins was supposed to transfer from them to that animal. Then the animal had to be killed. That's amazing. But Jesus, He died one time for us. And all our sins, He bore all our sins. And He saved us from sin. He was our sacrifice. That's how bad and ugly sin is. That's how bad and ugly sin is. Anyway, I just want to thank you for your attention, and maybe we could sing the rest of that song if we want to. Second verse on of 295, the Holy of Holies. I'm just so thankful the Lord has helped me to understand, and I want to try to encourage others to understand more and more the spiritual application of this and what it means to our souls.